Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Bennington, Vermont. This talk, delivered on Sunday, March 24th, 2024, is by the Reverend Barbara Threet on the topic of The Promise of Spring.
Shortly after midnight last Tuesday, March 19th, astronomical spring officially began in our part of the world. The arrival of spring on the calendar, that promise of spring, certainly does not mean that the promise will be fulfilled immediately. In the past 36 hours or so, an ice storm where I live has made everything quite beautiful and quite treacherous as well. And the foot and a half of snow that fell in Rutland yesterday meant that the UU Church had to reschedule their auction from last night to this afternoon. This isn't exactly a spring day, although if you look out that window at the sun, you can pretend. Whatever the temperature, though, and whatever the precipitation, the hours of sunlight are slowly getting longer and brighter. Soon they'll be noticeably longer than the hours of darkness. Flowers will begin to appear. There are tulip and daffodil shoots a few inches high in my yard, and I did see fully budded out crocus in Greenfield a few days ago. Spring will arrive eventually, and warmth, and a bit more ease, at least with getting around. The poet Langston Hughes wrote, "In time of silver rain, the earth puts forth new life again. Green grasses grow, and flowers lift their heads, and over all the plain the wonder spreads of life, of life, of life. In time of silver rain, the butterflies lift silken wings to catch a rainbow cry, and trees put forth new life to sing in joy beneath the sky, as down the roadway passing boys and girls go singing too. In time of silver rain, when spring and life are new." I am confident that spring with those soft rains will arrive. That promise is fulfilled every year. Even knowing that I can count on that gives me hope, makes the brief revisit of winter more bearable. There's something about the certainty that spring will come, with the abundance of flowers and the cacophony of birdsong, the lighter, longer evenings, and even a soft, warm rain, that sometimes feels almost magical. We do nothing to bring this, and it happens every year. The unfolding of that magic is only loosely connected to the calendar, but it is there every year, waiting to unfold. And it will. Emily Dickinson writes, "A light exists in spring, not present on the year at any other period when March is scarcely here. A color stands abroad on solitary fields that science cannot overtake, but human nature feels. It waits upon the lawn, it sows the furthest tree, upon the furthest slope you know. It almost speaks to me." There is something in the light, even on those days when it feels like winter is hanging on a bit longer and more tightly than I or you had wished for. These last few weeks, since the time changed, I'm leaving to drive my grandson to school just as the sun peeks over the horizon, spreading that soft golden light of dawn over the still bare trees. That brief flash of glory often appears at sunrise, year-round, of course, but it's usually either earlier or later than when I happen to be out to see it. But this past week, we've witnessed it most every morning. In a few weeks, maybe just a few days, sunrise will have moved early enough so we'll miss it. And the morning drive will happen on the full, with the full-on morning light, which is lovely, but there's no golden glow. But while that glow is there, it is beautiful, that light that exists in springtime. And for all those moments of delight, this time of year also reminds us that life isn't simple. Not all promises, even the promise of the seasons, are immediately fulfilled. It does feel like we're slipping right back into winter a bit, like perhaps the coming of spring was some brief delusion. No matter how mild the weather felt a week or so ago, and it was mild enough to open a local ice cream stand, oh, were they optimists, We do know that spring will eventually arrive. We want it to arrive, but it will arrive only at its own halting, uneven pace. It can take time for what we long to have be to unfold, whether it's the changing of the season or any other part of our lives. We often don't get to choose exactly when promises will be fulfilled. But there are hints of what's to come in our lives as in the seasons. As Edna Mead's poet March Morning reminds us. She writes, "A pale sun glints across the swirling drifts. Bent trees are crackling with a silver load. A wild gale shrieks in mischief as it lifts a stinging screen of flakes across the road. It seems midwinter still, and still the world lies wrapped in sleep upon the year's high shelf. But March is such a rogue, his challenge curled in fury, cannot hide his other self. A softer azure tints the sky's cold blue. Sometimes, for moments, all the world is quiet. Ice jewels melt to tears, the rendezvous of ruffled sparrows, which teem with April riot. Still roars the lion, but the lamb is bolder. The madness has a subtle touch of play. The night was winter, but the spring has grown older. Know what a sham of winter there is today." There aren't a lot of things in life of which we are absolutely certain. But the fact that the seasons change is a given, even when that lion seems to stick around, even when winter is clinging to whatever it is that we have to do. Exactly how and exactly when each of these changes will happen is unknown, but we know that it will be cold and snowy in January with long nights, and we can be just as sure that it will be warm with longer days and growing grass and trees in June. And spring, the tulips will appear, and then the lilacs. The ice will finally disappear from all the ponds, and boats and playing children will take their place. Some years it's the promise of spring that makes life bearable in the winter, whether it's the spring of the seasons or the spring of the soul. And that's true all around the world, that promise of spring. One of my favorite poems about this time of year was written by an Australian woman named Lily Baker. She writes, "Spring is the magical time when the rainbow lorikeets hum and the honeysuckles blossom, when I actively bounce down the sand dunes and onto the pea-green grass, the waratahs and the wattles bloom, and my heart opens to the riot of spring. I love this time when everything comes to life. Nature triumphs in the trees, swaying freely in the wind, stealing my train of thought and making my imagination run wild. I am inspired by this heavenly kingdom, the tranquility of dew droplets falling slowly, the mastery of rain. I feel connected. Tree sap trickles down the bark of native gum trees. I examine this calmly and curiously. Sometimes the wind whispers to me at dusk, giving me confidence with my body. I promise I will always make the most of springtime." That poem called Spring Awakening was actually written on August 12th, which is the Australian equivalent of mid-February. But it reminds me that spring, whether literal or metaphorical, comes at different times for different people in different places. But always with that sense of promise, life will get easier. It will bring beauty. It will be more relaxed. It's the waiting for that promise to be fulfilled that's hard. If yesterday's weather had happened in January, it would have felt perfectly normal. Instead, it felt just a bit invasive. Although I know, and so do you, that storms in March and even April are perfectly normal. It was amusing to prepare the order of service for today's service and see the hymns that I had chosen a few weeks ago, the music that Deanna and Linda had selected for the church choir, the poems I'd collected for this sermon, some of which have been changed. Clearly, we believed that the promise of spring, when that calendar turned, meant that it would be there right the next day, and this morning we would probably have to move tulips out of the way in order to get through this. I mean, it was amazing. This is supposed to be a day of light and gladness, as we sang. And springtime is upon us, or at least it's supposed to be. And the truth is, it is a day of light and gladness. And springtime is upon us in its own way. We want that thing that the planet and the sun and the seasons promise to appear right when the calendar says it should, but we don't control that. We humans are often impatient for spring. We want what we want when we want it. And often what we get is what we get. When springtime arrives, that's when it comes, despite all of our wanting. And all too often, we immediately turn our attention to what should come next. Next will be summer. Next will be this. Next will be that. And we forget to really pay attention to what finally arrived. Perhaps one of the lessons of this weekend, which dared to interrupt our spring with several hours of winter, is that we need to relax and trust in nature's own passing in many parts of life. And that we need to remember to appreciate spring once it finally arrives. A man named Amos Russell Wells, who was actually born in Glens Falls, New York, and taught Greek and geology at Antioch College in the late 1800s, wrote a wonderful poem that I only recently discovered. It's called Serenity, and is written specifically for this time of year. "Learn patience," he writes. "Watch the quiet moving hours slowly beneath hard winter as they form the spring. Today the earth is locked in icy death, tomorrow and maybe tomorrow. Dreary boughs flaunt their dry leaves in mockery of life. The ground is adamant, no juices run. The world is chained in silent hopelessness. But patience. By a hair's breadth, momentarily the whirling globe turns nearer to the sun. And patience. By a hair's breadth, momentarily the iron earth relaxes into life. Slow drop by drop, the sluggish current starts through nature's myriad veins. The glittering sky takes on insensibly a milder light. The meadow softens. Through the waiting woods, delicious thrills anticipate the spring." Patience is sometimes, maybe often, hard to come by. It's supposed to be what we want now. Whether it's the springtime season or a metaphorical spring after a hard wintry time in our lives, we are hungry for springtime to arrive. And then all too often when it does, we take it for granted, as if it were something that we have a right to expect. But springtime can be more than just the flowers and the lighter air. It can be a call to appreciation for all that the spring of our lives brings to us. Spring can bring a sense of gratitude for all that we are given, often without any effort on our parts, if we pay attention. Robert Frost wrote in his poem, "A Prayer in Spring," "Oh, give us pleasure in the flowers today, and give us not to think so far away as the uncertain harvest. Keep us here, all simply in the springing of the year. Oh, give us pleasure in the orchard white, like nothing else by day, like ghosts by night. And make us happy in the happy bees that swarm dilating round the perfect trees. And make us happy in the darting bird that suddenly above the bees is heard. The meteor that thrusts in with needle bill and off a blossom in midair stands still. The flowers and the budding trees and the birds and the bees, all of that which is springtime will appear this year, as it does every year. And so will mud and so will allergies, and that's spring. We in our busy lives may or may not notice those things much at all, though. Or we may choose to pay attention. We may stop to take pleasure, to give thanks, to appreciate the promise fulfilled. And of course, we don't need to wait for all of those things. There is much to be grateful for in every single day, little springs, over and over. Another poem, this one by Mary Oliver, entitled "The Sun," which is there every single day waiting. Oliver writes, "Have you seen anything in your life more wonderful than the way the sun, every evening, relaxed and easy, floats toward the horizon and into the clouds or the hills of the rumpled seas and is gone. And how it slides again out of the blackness every morning on the other side of the world, like a red flower streaming upwards on its heavenly oils. Say, on a morning in early summer, at its perfect imperial distance. And have you ever felt for anything such wild love? Do you think there is anywhere in any language a word billowing enough for the pleasure that fills you as the sun reaches out and warms you as you stand there, empty-handed? One of the miracles of the sun in the spring is that it comes in its own way and its own time, and it does give such blessings. The sun just beaming down on you, empty-handed. We can notice it, or we can choose not to. We can focus on the mud that the spring will bring, and it might, or the allergies, or all those other problems that every season has. They're part of springtime, too. Nothing ever is entirely perfect. Or we can notice the spring and all the other gifts of life, and say a prayer of thanksgiving to life itself, to God, to the earth, to nature, to the gift of seeing. The Native American poet Joy Harjo writes in her eagle poem, "To pray, you open your whole self to sky, to earth, to sun, to moon, to one whole voice that is you, and know there is more that you can't see, can't hear, can't know except in moments, steadily growing and in languages that aren't always sound, but other circles of motion. Like eagle, on that Sunday morning over Salt River, it circled in blue sky in the wind, it swept our hearts clean with sacred winds. We see you, we see ourselves, and know that we must take the utmost care and kindness in all things. Breathe in, knowing we are made of all of this, and breathe, knowing we are truly blessed, because we were born, and we die soon within a true circle of motion, like eagle rounding out over the morning inside of us. We pray that it will be done in beauty, in beauty." The beauty is there all year, of course, but the wonder of spring makes it feel especially powerful. Daffodils and birdsong and eagles and dewdrops and sun and apple blossoms, all of this we are given without doing anything to earn it or create it or tame it. It's just there. The spring is fleeting. We know that summer follows, and then autumn and the cold of winter again. And all of life holds all those facets over and over. But for now, it's spring with the promises it brings. Our challenge is to notice it, to let it unfold in its own way, and let it lift our spirits along with all the rest of life. All those things which symbolize spring will not be the only reality we deal with. Life isn't that simple, but its arrival can remind us to pay attention to the places of beauty in life and the places of ease, even during hard times. A final poem, William Safford's, "You Reading This or Hearing This, Be Ready." Starting here, what do you want to remember? How sunlight creeps across the shining floor? What scent of old wood hovers? What softened sound from outside fills the air? Will you ever have a better gift for the world than the breathing respect that you carry wherever you go right now? Are you waiting for time to show you some better thoughts? When you turn around, starting here, lift this new glimpse that you found. Carry into evening all that you want from this day. This interval that you spent reading or hearing this, keep this moment for life. What can anyone give you that is greater than this moment, right now, starting here, right in this room, when you turn around? This day, this spring, whenever and however it decides to arrive, can be a call for us to be more mindful about what we want to notice, what we want to cherish, It can remind us of the many gifts of life that are simply present, without our having earned them or merited them. They're just there. So be ready. Whenever Earth puts forth new life again, when the light of spring emerges, when the quiet moving hours beneath the winter form the spring, let us make the most of spring and trust its promise. Amen.